My name is Ifeyemi Andrew. This is the Morning Crossfire. We have a very interesting conversation to look at. And many people would be waiting to see how this would affect the whole system, politics and the judiciary. So the Chief Judge of Rivers State, Justice Simeon Amadi, alongside six other judges, Kebbi, Cross Rivers, Anambra, Jigawa and Imo States, are all expected today to meet with the Chief Justice of Nigeria, Justice Tanko Muhammad. They are supposed to answer questions on the controversial conflicting orders delivered in their various states. The CJN had a memo that was released demanding for the records of proceedings in all the suits on which conflicting expert orders were given. Now, there are indications that the Chief Judge of Delta State has also recently been invited to join the other judges to meet with the CJN today. And many are saying that it's not unconnected with the expert order which reportedly restrained the governor of Yobe State, Mema Labuni, from parading himself as a member of the APC National Caretaker Committee. But that's not all. That is not all at all. If you remember, some other court orders emanated from various states with regarding the situation in the PDP, even before the APC came up. I'll be telling you all of those shortly. But first, I'd like to introduce my guest with me in the studio at this time. Chioma Choko is a Port Harcourt-based legal practitioner, good governance advocate and human rights lawyer. You're welcome. Good morning.
Thank you, my dear brother. And thank you to our listeners out there this morning.
I hope no traffic.
Not at all. I didn't encounter any.
And no flood.
At least our flyovers are working.
Good to know.
Yes.
Please don't say it again so we don't add more. Let's finish the ones we have first.
It's okay then.
All right. So the conversation quickly. Now, just take our minds back a little bit.
Yes.
So first, it was a court order that came from a River State, a high court.
Yeah.
An interim injunction that was restraining Uche Secondus from parading himself as the national chairman of the PDP. So while we were battling with that, then a Kebbi State High Court restored Uche Secondus as the national chairman of the PDP. This was just 3 days after the River State High Court had first issued an ex parte order suspending him from office. And we had that going. Cross River State then granted an interim order restraining Uche Secondus from resuming office. I think he wasn't part of the meeting that they held because of this particular Cross River State order, because the message that came from his aide said he was obeying that court order.
Yes.
And so he wasn't. And that was on one side. Then we thought it was only going to be the PDP, and then the APC joined in the action. Delta State High Court in Asaba restrained Governor Mema Labuni of Yobe State as caretaker committee chairman of the APC. Other members of his caretaker extraordinary convention planning committee of the APC were also affected by the party. So different court orders. It now brings us to ask a major question. Now there's an invitation. Today there's supposed to be a meeting with the CJN. And everybody's looking at saying, oh, this is good. It's going to help the judiciary. It's going to be a great process. But the major question I would want to ask you, Mr. Choko, is this. Looking at this particular invite, as our expectations continue to rise, how is it going to affect two things? First, the politics that we run in this country. And then secondly, the judiciary. Those are the particular areas I want us to look at. So first of all, if you don't mind, as a lawyer yourself, what are your expectations?
Well, I think, frankly, I must appreciate your questions. They are, I think, the best suitable question for the issues at the front burner. I must appreciate that fact. And if God willing, I should be able to appreciate to answer the two of them rightly. Respect to the way they are being called. You see, the truth of the matter is, sincerely speaking, it is the best thing that will happen to both the political system at this material time and then the judicial arm of the government at this material time. I want to say that this might not actually be the worst time for both sectors. That is, the judicial arm of the government, the judiciary, so to speak, and that of the political sector. But in answering this question, I think we may also have to appreciate holistically, because a lot of persons, from what I understand so far, there is this conflicting issues as to why did the CJN summon them in light of the fact that the processes that also brought him to light came through this back door.
We'll get to that already. Yes. You're getting there really fast.
Okay.
But that would also come up, definitely.
Okay, thank you very much. Now, the question is, frankly speaking, the CJN has the powers as he enjoys in their rules, as a matter of fact, to question anybody or any judge whose decision appears to be not in order with the public expectation. I will always tell people, decisions that are coming from the court or the court of law, as a matter of fact, is not just court of law. It's a court of public policy. That is to say that decisions that are emanating from any of these courts must have direct effect to members of the public. And that is why when decisions that are coming from the court are not in consonance with the expectations of the members of the public, you see the members of the public react negatively. And that was exactly what, it is exactly what is happening at this material time. What is the issue in question? In the first place, there was a decision, like you rightly pointed out, emanating from the court of Honorable Justice. I may not know his, acronyms and all that, Maxam, that I know him as. And a lot of us were, even as a counsel, I practiced within Port Harcourt jurisdiction. I was surprised to that decision, given or looking at the sensitive nature of the position of the national, chairman of the PDP. I'm not a politician. But if you look at it, you must appraise it holistically. Look at it surgically. What was the rightness or the wrongness in this decision? If you consider...
Was anything wrong with that particular first order?
I look at it. See, as a lawyer, I may hold a different view from that of the applicant.
No, from a position of the law, as a lawyer.
From the position of the law.
Is the court supposed to mingle with such issues?
To the best of my knowledge, even if I'm not a judge, if I were the judge at that material time, I would not have granted that application in ex parte.
Good thing.
Yeah, I'm coming. The court has the power to grant any application either ways. Hear me. The court has the powers to grant any applications either ways. But the court must also have the understanding that sensitive natures of that matter should. An applicant must be given, the respondent must be given an opportunity to answer to his own questions before making such decisions.
In other words, this is where we apply the spirit of the law and not just the letters.
Very, very well. Very well. The court of law must not be biased. The court of law must not make imprints that will cause members of the public to begin to suspect processes that are pending before her.
So this particular judgment, was looking at the Rivers judgment that came first. Yes. Is it in any way... Should it be perceived as bias?
To me, I am not making or judging the decision of that court. Hear me very well, my dear friend. I had said it from the Abney show, that the court has the powers to enter her decision either ways. But there are matters, even we as counsel, that we project to the court. The court will look at it and say, no, because of the sensitive nature of this matter, it will not be right for us. It is not like saying, destroy this desktop before the owner comes. Are you getting what I'm saying? At the point you are asking the app respondent to appear before you, the decision had already been entered. And that is what the court would have done at that material time. To say, okay, he is still the national president. But if the processes that are pending before me have been served on that particular respondent, give him opportunity to also avail the court with her own facts.
In other words, hear from him first.
Before making that decision. Because I look at it, what are you now summoning him to appear before you, decision having been made before that summon? For instance, an ex parte application was brought before you. You would have said, as a court of law, put him on notice. Let him be aware that if we take this decision, look at it now. Is he going back to the position? No, immediately that the decision was reached, what happened? A caretaker member came up. That is his deputy. So that automatically means that he has been ousted from that position. So what is the rightness in the decision? Having removed him and then at the same time asking him to come before you to answer a question which is touching on the chairmanship of that position. What the court would have done at that material time is to say, serve him the necessary processes that are pending before this court. And if he's availed or advanced with those copies, give him opportunity to also adduce his own facts before the court. And that would have been right.
Okay. Another quick question.
Yes, sir.
We know that after that judgment came from the High Court here in River State, Uche Sekondo's got a judgment from Kebbi State.
Now, go ahead. You see that decision from Kebbi State? For me, I look at it with very all sense of ridicule.
Okay, so let me. That's where my next question is coming
ridicule.
From. We would assume that the judges are aware of what the law says. I'm not a lawyer myself, but I know that we have courts of competent jurisdiction and coordinate jurisdictions and all of the other jurisdictions you guys have.
Yes.
If the judges are aware of this, why then would they continue to issue orders that would contradict themselves?
That is where I have issues with these judges. For instance, as a court of law, for instance, you understand that you have respect for a court of coordinate jurisdiction. We have what they call in law judicial precedents. How does it apply? How does it function? How does it work? Is the question. We have it in two ambits. One of which is that if decisions that are made by a court of superior record are made, you are bound by that decision, for instance.
Mm.
Another way is that you must respect the procedural nature of the court. That is to say that a court of coordinate jurisdiction, even though you are not bound by the decision of that coordinate court, you have respect for that court. But this is what we have, particularly in the High Court and Federal High Court, where you have, for instance, you are aware of the issue of the FIRS and the Attorney General of River State.
Yes.
Do not be surprised that tomorrow another decision will spring from either Kebbi, Akwa Ibom, Ondo, whichever.
But I think with regards to that, they took the right step going to appeal.
No, they took the right step. That is the best thing. But what was the sense in advancing the Kebbi State High Court? Even though Uche Secondus was also joined there as a respondent, if you look at it very well, the processes captured Uche Secondus as the second respondent, PDP first, and then as the second respondent. And you look at the decision. How can you were brought in the court as a respondent, and the judgment of the court under S Party also favored you? That is to say that you did not even answer anything and the decision was made in your favor. How can it be right? The circumstances under which ex parte applications are made before the court are under cases of rare exigencies. And there was no exigency in the matter of the leadership of the PDP, as it were.
Okay, Mr. Choko, just hold on a few minutes there. If you're listening to us, I'm pretty sure you have a lot of contributions you want to make. You can send WhatsApp messages to 0809-030-6416. 0809-030-6416. That's the WhatsApp number. You can also check us out on Facebook, Nigeria Info PH. Drop your comments there. We're live on Facebook. You'd be a part of the conversation because we'll be coming to take your comments shortly. Mr. Choko.
Yes, sir. Okay,
back to you now.
Yes, sir.
Is it safe to say that within the judiciary, we're beginning to have too much influence politically?
That is political infusion. That is not even a question anymore.
The judges are not saying that they were influenced politically. We need to ask the question.
What I mean is, I'm not trying to make you ridicule of your question. No, that is far from it. But what I mean is that even the blindest in the public today understands that there is political infusion.
In other words, you'd be implying that these orders that we got from the various courts may have been shot for.
Of course. What the politicians are doing is what we call in law forum shopping. They move from one court to another. But I do not expect a respected court to begin to listen to the applications of this nature, even though the court is bound to take applications that are pending before her. But there is a way you could make a ridicule of this cancer. Yes, the court has a duty to caution lawyers that are in that spirit of bringing applications that are very unnecessary before that court or before the court of law in Nigeria. Because what we are speaking today or what we are discussing today is not applicable to River State. We are not saying it because Honorable Justice Bassan delivered a particular judgment that is today causing public uproar and cacophony. Mm-hmm. That is not our decision. That's not our discussion. Our discussion is that politicians, as a matter of fact, having also infused themselves or forced themselves into this particular sector, how do we now move them out of the system for the common man to get the ordinary principle of general belief as the court being the last hope of the common man?
You're saying that the politicians have forced themselves in. It kind of raises more questions because the judiciary has a system and how it operates. So what is the judiciary doing to ensure that these politicians don't take control of that arm of government?
What would they do? My dear brother,
what's the agency supposed to do with regards to disciplining of judges?
Very well. You see, I discussed with your sister station and I told them the appointorial processes that brings judges and even workers of the judiciary into power is a complete flaw, is a complete mess. Until we remove the hands of these politicians in the appointorial system of the judicial arm of the government. You cannot have a serene and sane judicial arm of the government, because these people are, for in fact, they perceive themselves to be subject of the governors. They are subject of the appointers, as a matter of fact. So until there is a decision or there is another procedure that says, for a particular person to become a judge, even members of the public should have what? Influence over it. We are all excluded from that process. The people, in fact, we just wake up one morning, we hear that the particular person has been appointed. It is not peculiar to Rivers State. It is not peculiar to Abia. This is what is applicable in the judicial system of Nigeria. Of course, you saw what happened to Onogen. The manner in which he was brought in, what is it called? The current CJN was brought into power. Even when the members of the public said, no, this is abhorrent to the procedures that should bring the highest person of the judicial arm of the government into power. Was it reverted? The question is no, it was never reversed.
So does that mean that we shouldn't expect much from this call by Tanko Mohammed?
Well, no.
If we're saying that the process that brought him is flawed, I mean, nobody would want to shoot themselves in the foot.
We cannot continue to do a wrong had been done before. No. As humans, we must always strive to ensure that we get certain things, if not 100%, at least 80%.
So wouldn't the right thing to do now, or the most appropriate thing to do, be to salvage the system by trying to see how, like you've raised, the way appointments are made and these judges get to power is sanitized? Shouldn't that be the major focus of the CJN at the moment?
Ordinarily,
if he wants to really effect change,
ordinarily that should be. But do you know that at every point in time there is an interest? You will agree with me, from any of the quarters, either from the political angle or even the CJN himself has interest. Believe you me, it is possible that if the judgment orders were coming from other states, for instance, Katsina, probably the CJN wouldn't have the guts to summon the chief judge of Katsina State to begin to come to Abuja. But because I'm not trying to make an insinuation anyways, but this is the way we look at it. If things were to be done rightly, any judge that goes contrary to public expectation should be summoned. And do you know that if we get it right from the foundation, even the court, being the judges I make reference to, will understand that the processes that brought them to bear, that brought them into existence, is the same process, and they begin to respect the decision they even make. But the judges, as a matter of fact, do not have respect even for them. Most of the judges will do respect to most of them that I also know that are upright. Most of them do not even have respect for themselves. Talk much more of having respect for the appointers. Why? Because of the processes. So if we must get it right, we must go back to the basic, the foundation, which is the appointorial process. We must release the entirety of the appointorial process to the people. If we must get it right. If we still leave it in the hands of the politicians, you have the wrong heads occupying the right position.
Okay, Mr. Chiko, thank you. But we'll just hold on there for a few minutes. We have to go for a short commercial. When we return, the Morning Crossfire continues with this heated conversation. We still have a lot to talk about. Yes, majorly, how can we sanitize the judiciary and how can these judges be disciplined? What do you expect from this meeting today between the seven judges thereabout and the CJN? Is it going to yield anything positive? Many people are already saying it's all just, what do they call it, academic exercise. What many people say. But we'll find out when we come back after this break. Stay tuned.
We take off with the biggest conversations, with an exchange of opinions and ideas on the Morning Crossfire. Settle you into your day when we say hello, Port Hackett.
Take you on a ride to the sunny side of life.
Hover a bit while picking at the details on hard facts. Take a detour through the exciting world of sports.
And get back on track with Let's Talk.
Land you safely as we chit-chat into the morning on Chat Station.
Chat Station.
And then do it all over again on your number one talk, news and sports radio station, 92.3 Nigeria Info.
The Morning Crossfire.
This is the Morning Crossfire on 92.3 Nigeria Info.
Good morning, 92.3 Nigeria Info. Still the morning crossfire. My name is Ifeyemi Andrew, and my guest very much with me in the studio, Chioma Choko Esquire, legal practitioner here in Port Harcourt, Rivers State. And this morning, actually, we've been talking about the meeting that's supposed to happen today between the Chief Justice of the country, Justice Tanko Muhammad, and seven other judges, including the Chief Judge of Rivers State, Justice Simeon Amadi. And the meeting is supposed to have these judges explain some of the orders, conflicting court orders that have been emanating from their states. Delta State, the Chief Judge just got added, I think just yesterday, if I'm not mistaken, or the day before. And it was because of the order that came with regards to Governor of Yobe State, May Malabuni, an order from the Asaba High Court restraining him from parading himself as a member of the Ketika Committee of the party. And that has also brought up another conversation altogether. Well, if you're listening to us and you want to be part of the conversation, it's very simple. Send a WhatsApp message to 0809-030-6416, and we'll be opening the phone lines shortly. You can also get to us on Facebook, Nigeria Info PH on Facebook, and be a part of the conversation. So quickly, before we open the phone lines, I just get a few words from you with regards to this. A few things we talked about while we were off the microphone. This judgment that have already been given by, these orders rather, that have been given by the various high courts, can they be reversed? If they have the meeting today and see that these orders are all conflicting, in fact, many people can already see that they are conflicting, but we just need them to certify. Should they not be reversed?
No. The decisions emanating from each of these courts, as a matter of fact, cannot be reversed by the same courts themselves. The courts at this material time are all functus official. That is to say that their record at that material time, and with respect to these applications brought before them, have been closed. So what they can do now is to advance the court of appellate court, which is the court of appeal. Mm-hmm. So if you are talking about reversal of the decisions of this court, each of them must pass through this test. That is to say that there must be...
So next year will still be on the same matter?
Course,
because of the kind of system
course,
we have.
You must go to court of appeal for court of appeal to look at the rightness or wrongness in each of these decisions. So if you also feel very uncomfortable, you proceed to the Supreme Court, which has the final say with respect to each of these orders that have been made.
So technically,
yes,
Nigerians and every other person involved would have to adopt conflicting orders as they are because of our system. That's what we're saying.
There is also another problem with respect to this issue you've raised. Which of the decisions should be respected? Are we looking at precedents, which is first in time? Are we looking at the latest order, or why are we going to apply it?
As a lawyer, what would you say if you were a lawyer who was a judge on this issue? How would you look at it if you are the CJN now?
This is one of those times that as a counsel, you have to pick and choose what order to obey. But even though the law does not allow you to pick what order to obey, the question is, you've gone to court, an application has been granted in your favor. A court of coordinated jurisdiction also made a contrary decision with respect to that. I cannot obey the subsequent one that was made against me.
So why is it such a problem? Because now the picture is getting clearer and the system is looking to be more not very straightforward. If already it is clear that a court of coordinated jurisdiction should not be given an order, and then it gave an order which makes it wrong, why do we still have to look at the order?
Whether a court makes a wrong decision or a right decision, you are bound by the decision of that court. And that is where I expect the NJC, if it were effective enough, to come in. But we look at the defect in NJC from the head to the top. There are a lot of defects, which some of us have spoken against. We say, okay, even the processes that the CJN came in is a wrong process, is a wrong procedure. And he is heading the NJC.
Yes.
That is the reason people are having lack of respect for that position. If the CJN had come through the right door, there would have been lots of respect for that position. But now we are looking at it
as an institution or a body that is built with men of straw.
So, Mr. Choko, you said that whether or not the order is right, the moment a court gives an order, you are bound by it. Doesn't that give leeway to politicians to then do what they want? Because all they would need to do is just go and get the order regardless, and then it holds you down, and then they can go ahead with whatever they need to do.
Of course, it gives them...
Perhaps it's what maybe had inspired the Kebi judgment.
Yes. Certainly, I will agree with you. But that of the council for River State, for instance, has a duty to appeal, to advance to the Court of Appeal. For instance, to say, okay, there were conflicting decisions because of, as a matter of fact, the court, the appellate court, has the power to also reconcile such decisions, as it were.
Okay.
And to say this is the right one that we should obey. I don't know if you're getting me. As the case may be now, the both persons, what they have to do, they have to approach an appellate court to get a decision, because they cannot stand at the fence picking and choosing what decision to obey.
All right, let's open the phone lines quickly and get some of your thoughts as quickly as we can. 0817-923-0002, 0817-923-0003, 0817-923-0007, and 0817-923-0009. Those are the numbers to call. And let us know, what are your expectations ahead of this meeting today between the Chief Justice of the country and the judges from Rivers, Imo, Jigawa, Anambra, Cross Rivers, and Delta State. You think it's going to be fruitful? Do you see any light at the end of the tunnel? Or perhaps you are among those people who say it's just an academic exercise? Let's find out. Dennis is our first caller for this morning. Hello, Dennis. Good morning.
Yeah, good morning.
You're welcome.
Andrew. You see, what I have to say in this is this. That all of us have gone to school. And we know there are three arms of government that are equal. I do not know how the Nigerian educational system cannot imbibe this into the people. You see people that you teach in school come out just because they carry guns, they now take over government and you begin to respect them. You are not supposed to. If you are what the oil you burnt in school, you should look that governor in the face and tell him he's doing the wrong thing. Somebody graduated from India the other day, a little girl, and she tells you what happens there. I know that Ujenga, a classmate of us, carried cocaine. And when he went to court, what the Indian lawyers told him is that they can only plead for a lesser sentence for him. That's the law. And they told him right in court, when he argued that he does not carry cocaine, he said, "You."
Okay,
carry
so basically,
said,
basically,
you know?
What are you he saying? Said, what are you expecting from the meeting today?
Absolute nothing. You can't expect nothing because
right,
corruption,
Dennis,
as the Bible says, ruins a nation.
All right, thank you very much, Dennis, for your time. Chris from Oyigbo. Hello, Chris. Good morning. What's that called? Churchill is calling from D Line. Hello, Churchill. Good morning.
Yes. Good morning. I've been listening to your conversation. My point is that the orders were made ex parte. And as I know, ex parte orders can be vacated by the same judges that made them within 7 days if the respondents make an application for the vacation of that order. So, that's the point. I have issues with the your guest.
Yes, you
your
correct.
Distinguished guest in the studio.
Oh, okay.
When he said these orders have to be overturned on appeal. They are ex parte orders interim.
Yes.
So they can be vacated by the same court.
Yeah, okay. Very correct. And all right, extended too.
All right, thank you very much, Churchill. So does it also mean that they would have to choose which order to vacate? Or they vacate both others,
It is respect to each of the courts. The court in River State cannot vacate the order of that of the KB. So if you must vacate, you must vacate the order, the ex parte order that was made
from your
by
court.
Your
so but the point I'm making is, we have an ex parte order from a high court in River State.
Yes.
We have from Kebbi State.
Yes.
And we have interest in these orders. We have people who went to the court from the various political, from the same political parties. Mm-hmm. So is it that now, what would be the
interest,
the decision to make a decision of saying, okay, River State High Court, for instance, is going to vacate its order, or Kirby Wood, what would be that defining moment? What would define that? Is it going to be that, oh, because River State High Court first issued its order, so Kirby has to vacate its own order?
It's not done that way.
So how does it work?
It's, for instance, if the respondent in this particular River State issue comes up with facts why that particular order should be vacated, the court will listen to her and then grant her application within that expected time.
Okay.
And if the other one that was also made by KB State, for instance, and the respondents in this case, for instance, that favored...
Let's not forget there's Cross River State as well.
Yes, that favored Uche Secondus. And that is where I'm also wondering whether Uche Secondus can also go back to that of KB to say, okay, vacate this order.
That's because the point I'm making, because so, it favors so him, so he wouldn't want to do that.
Uche Secondus has the responsibility of coming to River State to avow his points, his facts, to say vacate this court on the grounds of this and that. That is the only case, yes.
All right, JJ from Rumigbo. Hello, JJ.
Yeah, good morning, Andrew.
Good morning.
And good morning to the guest.
Good morning, my good friend.
For me, I'm not a lawyer, but I think that from the common sense point of view, the only order that needs to be vacated is that of River State. Because if you read through the order from Kirby, it's saying that reinstate. That means the court have the knowledge that the guy has been sacked by a court. That's why he said reinstate him. So he cannot overrule the order of the Rivers High Court. But what do I really know? But I also think that the rate at which orders are flying left, right, and center. You know, according to Majed Pashek, he says so many things are happening, so many bad things are happening, because righteous people who are supposed to be righteous, they turn things upside down. And I think it's not a good one.
Okay, JJ.
And I think heads you roll, especially those ones that are perpetual or habitual order giver, without resorting to other people hearing from them, I think they are not needed in the bank. They should.
All right, JJ, thank you very much for your time and contribution. Hello, Chima from Diop. Good morning.
Good morning, Andrew. Yes, Andrew, I think no doubt politics has trickled into judiciary, and it's alarming, and it's bad omen to the country called Nigeria. And where you see a court issue restraining order to an agency saddled with the responsibility to carry out investigation and all that. Then I want to ask our guest in the studio,
yes,
at what time will the following order be issued? Order of mandamus, Kalukutu injunction, perpetual injunction. So I want to ask him, let him explain to us. Thank you very much.
All right, thank you. So they want to know when is the right time to issue any of these orders? Or you can just decide to pick any of them.
For instance, there are circumstances that can cause a court of law to grant an ex parte application when there are exigencies. For instance, if anybody is threatening, for instance, which is an injunction, as a matter of interim injunction, ex parte applications are tagged under or found under interim injunctions.
Okay.
Now, if somebody is threatening, for instance, to destroy your building, and you see that the person is serious with respect to carrying out his acts, his decisions, you can run to the court to say, prevent this person from demolishing my house. You understand what I'm saying? Within this period.
On the interim.
So within this period, the person can, all the processes meant for this particular litigation would have been served on that particular respondent. So the person has to come to court to say, this is my house. I want to destroy it because it belongs to me. And then you that is the applicant will also say, it is not his house. This particular building belongs to me.
So it gives you the time to settle.
Within that particular period, the court will have given you the opportunity to restrain that person from carrying out that order. Because if it is carried out, the court may not have the ability to reinstate it the way it is. So the only ability the court has is to save the person, the respondent, from the applicant rather, from having his building from being destroyed.
Okay. Yes. All right, Bright from Rumigbo. Good morning.
Good morning, Andrew.
You're welcome. Go ahead. One minute.
You asked a question. I have an answer, and then I have a question to your guest.
Go ahead.
What do we expect from the meeting? I expect that the CJN through NJC and the judges who are appearing before him should caution themselves and draw attention to the fact that they are not decision makers, but people who make decisions based on law.
they are leading law courts, not opinion courts, where they give their opinion. So they should try as much as they could to draw attention to the fact that their decisions must be in line with laws that are already stipulated.
Okay.
Not just what they canvass or the ideologies they think is best. Now, my question to your guest. Before a judge could grant an ex parte order or restraining order, does he have to look at the jurisdiction conferred on him? If he, as a judge, has the jurisdiction to intervene in the subject matter for which the order is sought for? Because I ask this question, in the case of Dele Moses and nine others versus APC, the Supreme Court has said that the court does not have jurisdiction to entertain matters that pertain on political parties' internal affairs.
Okay.
And the issues in question now are suspending people from a party which are already stipulated by the constitutions of the party on how such things.
All right, Bright.
I will respond to his question. The person has an understanding of it, but I will respond to his question very directly. The court has the powers to consider whether or not that particular court has jurisdiction to entertain that matter. Reason being that the issue of jurisdiction can also be raised by the court herself. The court must not wait for the respondent to come and inform her that this particular subject matter does not fall within her ambit for she to decide. The court has that inherent powers to decide whether or not she has the jurisdiction to entertain that matter.
Okay, well said. Kel, good morning. Sadly, we lost our call. Let's look at our WhatsApp portal. Lots of messages there. This one says, can order be given to applicant with the consent of defendant? What is the importance of jurisdiction? Joe sending this one. He says, Tanko Mohammed, call five judges for investigation of conflict order is a welcome development. All right. So
there are under two circumstances where such things can happen. One of which is the one we are discussing, which is an ex parte application, which has a lifespan of 7 days, for instance. Then the other one is what we call default judgment. If an application, for instance, or all the entire process is expected to be served on the respondent or defendant has been effected on the defendant, and he elects not to come, will the court fold their hands and wait until when you decide to come? No. The court will proceed. Having met with the requirement of the law, the court will proceed and enter judgment in favor of the applicant or plaintiff or claimant in that case.
All right. In this particular case, I think somebody just made that clear. Yeah, some members of the PDP actually were the ones that went to court for the Kebbi judgment that asked for Uche Secondus to be restated. So it then means that from what you were saying earlier, these three people, are they the ones who would have to now make a case if we were to decide which of the orders should be vacated.
That is the three persons that actually advanced the Kebbi State High Court and not that of River State. Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Good morning, presenter Andrew, and my brother in the studio, Vice Chioma Choko. For me, I will say the major political crisis we are having in Nigeria, our country today, are majorly caused by judicial arms of government. Please, Vice Choko, is in as much as I'm not for PDP, I want to ask, can a court of a coordinated jurisdiction revise decision? The decision of the same court. I want the CJN to punish some of these judges for others to learn. Obiajunwa, thank God, Uncle T from Igwe Echie. Say, Doc, is there a correlation between your? Okay, that's not for you. Yeah, somebody says it will be garbage in, garbage out. Nigerian lawyers have made themselves laymen and not learned men. From Honey Boy, Justice, I totally support CJN in redeeming the image of the judicial system because most judges are now tools in the hands of politicians. I urge the NGC to sanction those judges involved in these incessant orders to serve as deterrents to others. Wunike Odinaka sent in that one. Let's see, David West is on the line from Yenegua. David West, good morning.
Yes, good morning, my brother man, Andrew.
Go ahead.
Yeah, you see, in the first place, since the 1999, we begin to have these unnecessary, incessant, flagrant, ex parte orders here and there. Before now, ex parte orders were not just issued the manner at which they are issued beginning from 1999. Because the members of the Temple of Justice, with profound respect to the bench and the bar, so they have decided to begin to dance in the arena of politics rather than that sacred nature they have before. Before now, it is very rare for you to see a judge.
So what do you expect, David West? Because we're running out of time. If you can just go straight to the point.
Yes. What I expect is these judges should be sanctioned. Not like the one of Okonaban, who also give orders here and there. They should be sanctioned.
Okay, David West,
properly.
Thank you.
And also, for the rules to change, please. Let me also advise that it is high time we change some of the rules of our procedures. Why am I saying this? If you know that an ex parte order you want to give will be given by another judge, why not the moment that ex parte order being given, it now circulates around. There should be a proper means of transmitting these records of proceeding to all the judges that look, an ex parte order has been given with respect to this subject matter. Therefore, it should not be entertained again in any other court. And counsels too will not approach the court to tell the court that, look, oh my lord, this matter is also pending before your brother judge.
All right, David West, thank you very much. But that's too much we can take from you. We'll just take one more call from Temple before we begin to wrap up. Hello, good morning, Temple.
Good morning, the very distinguished Ifeanyi Andrew.
You're welcome. Go ahead, straight to the point.
I salute my brother in behalf Mr. Choma Achuko, Oga Chikara Moibonya Mama.
Thank you, my brother.
The very distinguished Ifeanyi Andrew, in as much as the CJN has invited some judges, but the truth must be set out there. You understand? Most of this court conflicting judgment and court injunction coming out from the court courtroom and court premises turned into shopping mall and supermarket. For me, I don't buy the idea. Because I'm also appealing to the chief judge of the federation. Because for me, if you ask me, he's also part of the problem. Even Abuja, it's not a different issue.
Okay.
So what am I saying in essence? Until judiciary is independent, they must dance to their tune of their paymasters and their body language. That is just the truth.
Forget
right, about all this invitation. What is it telling them? What is it going to say? Who is sanctioning who? Is this the same court judgment not emanating from Abuja? Is emanating from everywhere?
All right,
everywhere.
Temple, thank
so
you.
What are we saying?
Thank you very much. Temple really sounded upset.
But there is an important point I have to clear that is, I think, bothering my mind as a person. My dear brother Andrew, if you look at it, the people that were invited are the chief judges of each of these states. And if you look at it surgically, none of these chief judges delivered the decisions in question. That is the ex parte orders that are causing uproar in the public today. Are we looking at it with respect to this invitation that were extended to each of these chief judges of these states? Respect to vicarious liability, or we're looking at it under criminal punishment? Because I'm aware, if it has to do with criminal jurisprudence, it is just like the journey of salvation, all man on your own.
But shouldn't the judges be aware of what's happening?
How can the CJ? Do you know the way this thing work? That at the moment an ex parte application is brought, decision is reached instanta in court. The court does not give opportunity to say come back tomorrow. That is not the essence. At that moment, if you say go today and come back tomorrow, the relevance of that ex parte has been defeated. So it can come by motion of notice. So that particular moment, the counsel raises his issues and fights at that court. It is when the court decides.
Okay.
So if you take it under vicarious liability, who is supposed to be invited? Is it not the employer? And who is the employer of the judge? Is it the chief judge? Is it the governor of the state or the NJC, as it were?
All right, I'll leave that for public opinion. Let's just take a few messages on Facebook as we wrap up. Paul Adeleke says, may God take control of our nation. This one says, when the foundation is destroyed, what can the righteous do? The same way, if the judiciary is destroyed, what can the system do? Judiciary is no longer the hope of the common man, but the hope of the elites. Cosmos Udeme sent in this one. Obiajunwa Thangod says, good morning, presenter Andrew and my brother in the studio. I would say major political crisis we're having in this country, majorly caused by the judicial arm of government. Irondi Goodluck Favor says, good morning, Nigeria Info. It's absurd. Our judiciary has been abused and harassed. This is not good for our democracy. A corrupt judge is worse than a bandit. He ended up commending you for your
thank
comments
you, my dear brother,
on the show. We're gradually coming to the end of the show today. I guess take this one more message. Jurisdiction or not, Andrew, if you hear me, may it please you to ask the barrister if the CJN has the moral justification to question these judges when his ascension to office has questions. Williams from Fouché Community Center.
Of course, possibly I've raised that issue today. And you said I shouldn't begin from there. Of course, you agree with me. I said it that the method, the procedures, the manner in which the CJN came in, to the best of my knowledge, wasn't the best procedure. And that would certainly do a lot of...
So, So, sorry to interrupt you, because of the time. Yes. How can we just resolve this? What should the judiciary do now in just 1 minute?
The judiciary has only one solution to the problem, the appointorial process. We have to revisit it. If we must get it right, the appointorial process is not just exclusively for those that host the seats of the judges, but even the staff of the judiciary must be properly scrutinized before such employment is given.
All right, thank you very much. That was the Choma Choka Esquire, Port Harcourt-based legal practitioner, good governance advocate, and human rights lawyer. You're welcome. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. I enjoyed your show. Thank you.
My name is Ifeemi Andrew. Thank you for being a part of it. Thank you for the messages, and thank you for your calls as well. But where we call it a wrap until tomorrow. Do be able to check me on Facebook, by the way, Ifeemi Andrew, and on Instagram, Ifeemi Andrew Official. Have a lovely morning. Stay tuned.